And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. You text me, and we'll proceed accordingly. Still to come, my colleague at Breitbart News, Bradley Jay, and from the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall, the chairman. That's the 11 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. But joining us now, she is fresh off her a pretty convincing victory in the Alabama Republican AL2, second congressional district, that is, runoff. But Carolee Dobson is making time for us this morning. Carolee, congratulations. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks. And I'm in very good company this morning. Bradley Jay and I actually went to high school together. The last time I was in an election was SGA president, and Bradley Jay beat me. I'm glad you'll be visiting with him later today, and then obviously I have tremendous respect for our party leader John Wall and all that he's doing throughout the state, and his attention to this race in particular. But no, I'm doing great. I'm just very humbled by this opportunity, excited, and so grateful for all the folks in District 2 who took time to go out to the polls last Tuesday. I'm very, very excited. Got a lot of work cut out for us. It's going to be an uphill battle between now and November, but we are ready for the fight.
Well, looking at the totals, I mean, you won them all but two counties, and to be fair, Montgomery was always going to be tough for you because
sure. It
was a Senator Bert Baker's home county. Look at the Barber County results, kind of an anomaly there, but you lost by what, 2 points or something. But otherwise, I mean, I maybe didn't see this coming. What do you think? I mean, you really swung the election hard coming out of, I mean, in just a short amount of time, too, coming off of the primary.
Well, it was, to be honest, a lot of time on the road. I will say that. But again, that's kind of my duty. If I'm going to represent the folks of District 2, I've got to meet with as many of them as possible. I've got to be... certainly got to spend a lot of time, get to spend a lot of time in Mobile. It was important to me to spend time in Luverne and Eufaula and Clayton and, Monroeville, the county seat of my home county. But, our small towns cannot be ignored. And I think going into the general, that's, an important strategy that I'm going to continue, because my opponent has basically lived in Mobile, Tuscaloosa, and Washington, D.C. And so much of this district is small towns and rural communities. And on both sides of the aisle, those folks feel that, that their leaders have been kind of ignoring them. And then there are so many issues that kind of play out in stark relief in small towns, an economic policy, a trade policy can kill one employer in a small town, and that can really have impacts that last for generations thereafter, when there's not another employer to kind of absorb the loss of jobs. In the same token, an opportunity created in a small town can really, kind of do a 180 in terms of the viability of that town and its ability to attract young people and also, provide a good quality of life for retirees as well. Sadly, I feel like we're seeing a lot of small towns kind of dry up to just being populations of, folks between 50 and 70, because when there are not opportunities for young people to return home, and at the same time, there's not access to reliable health care, you end up with, young people not returning, and then, the elderly moving to assisted living facilities, in the larger cities throughout the state. It was important to me, coming from a town of less than 200, to not ignore the small towns in this district. And I think that is indicative of kind of how the results showed.
Yeah, and I mean, the eye-popping result, for me at least, just kind of a dominant performance in our listening audience, in Mobile County, almost more than 2-1 going for you, and a little different from the Republican primary earlier, but you really were able to kind of become, I don't know, for better or for worse, the way to call it, the Mobile candidate.
Well, and again, you know, growing up in Monroe County, you know, Mobile was always kind of seen as the key to our future out in the country. And that's only more so now with the airport, the port, the defense industry, shipbuilding. You've just got so many incredible opportunities in Mobile. And especially the fact that, you know, they're currently in our state legislature, much of the leadership roles are held by folks from North Alabama. I think last year, 82% of state funding went north of Montgomery, so entirely north of this district. So that's why I think it's really important that, you know, the Congressional District 2 representative be advocating for opportunities in Mobile, especially given that, again, currently the state leadership is much more centric towards the northern part of the state and opportunities there.
And then to kind of put a finishing touch on this and the eye-popping thing, another eye-popping thing was just a lot of Democrats showed up for this runoff, not as many Republicans. Should we read into that at all?
Yeah, no. You know, I think one circumstance regarding the runoff that we really struggled with was the fact that it was, you know, most counties, the only race on the ballot on the Republican side. You know, even in Mobile, there were so many primary Republican elections, but all of those were resolved, especially with Johanna Bucci. You know, there were three candidates in that race, but she, you know, she dominated without a need for a runoff there. So, you know, in many instances, this was the only race driving folks to the polls. You know, and again, Trump wasn't on the ticket. So I think, you know, there's certainly something to be said for the Trump factor. And the March 5th primary results, I think, are a lot more indicative of what November might look like. Again, with 161 vote difference, it is certainly within striking range. And it's our goal to, you know, ensure that we prevail in November. But we've got to register more Republicans. I think that's very evident, and we have some projections on those that we need to register. But, you know, neither party has campaigned in this district as its line fly before, so it's just kind of brand new territory for both parties, and that's why it's so important that, you know, I continue to spend a lot of time on the road, but also, you know, try to engage with voters who have never voted before or who don't typically vote. Certainly, you know, again, it's key to get young people enthused. I was very fortunate Monday night before the election. We had a Teletown call with Riley Gaines, who is an incredible young voice for conservative thought and for women's rights, really. We're working multiple strategies to get folks engaged and informed, and that, you know, that started last Wednesday. So we are not waiting around or beating around the bush. We're trying to get folks looking towards November today.
Joined by Carolee Dobson. She is the Republican nominee for the 2nd Congressional District election coming up in November. Long way from now till November. Just how hard do you go? Do you go as hard as you went during the brief time you had from primary to runoff? I mean, what does the next 6 months look like for you?
Well, yeah, again, given that this race is just so unusual on many fronts, given that the, you know, the district lines weren't even finalized until October 5th of last year, kind of all I've known is going really hard, a marathon and a sprint. You know, certainly, again, kind of the strategy changes because it's, certainly got to motivate the Republican base, but again, we've got to really combat apathy, I think is, you know, one of the biggest problems in the country as a whole, certainly in this district, given the turnout in both the primary and certainly in the runoff. So it's not only making outreach to folks that are going to vote anyway, but again, kind of educating and informing those who maybe have been on the sidelines up until now. It's a multifaceted strategy, it is technically a long way till November, but it's still less than 200 days. So it'll be here before we know it. So have to take advantage of every moment in between now and then.
So I know you've been busy with your own campaign, but kind of looking at what's going on in Washington, D.C. and the way there's turmoil in the Republican caucus and there's just no other way to describe it. We'll see how it plays out. But do you have any thoughts on this? Like, what do you do? Like, you're going to have to pick a side, perhaps, or you're going to have to kind of operate in that environment where it does look like Republicans are more going back and forth with one another than really taking on Hakeem Jeffries in the Democrat caucus.
Right. No, and it's very troubling. I think that's, again, another reason it's so important to keep this seat and increase our majority, Republican majority in the House, so that, the degree to which our leadership feels that they have to cater to the Democrats is diminished. But I think that's where a lot of this is coming from. But, as I've mentioned many times, like we cannot continue to keep spending at the level that we're spending. We are headed towards a financial cliff. And, while some folks who are currently serving in Washington, frankly, may not be around or may not care what happens in 10 years, I do. I'm raising my kids here in this country, and we cannot sustain the levels of spending that we are. While there are certainly good causes throughout the globe, we cannot continue for instance, with respect to Ukraine, we cannot continue to diminish our taxpayer coffers on funding some of these perhaps good causes, but against evil actors. But we've got to focus on our own military preparedness. We have to support Israel, certainly, but we've really got to focus on cutting government spending and spending smarter in a way that strengthens our country first and foremost.
Well, and the Ukraine one is a curious one. That's really the entire congressional delegation, even at the Senate level, split down the middle on that. And maybe the dollar amount. I mean, was there any level of Ukraine assistance that would have been appropriate, did you think?
At this time, we've really got to focus on our borders and securing our border. And again, while what's going on in Ukraine, certainly you hear heartbreaking stories. I fully believe that Putin is a bad actor. We cannot continue to be sending taxpayer funds over to Ukraine, at the expense of our own military preparedness. We're not meeting our recruiting numbers. Military morale is at a record low. And you talk to military members and they will tell you that, the issue is trust, and that comes from overly complicated rules of engagement and lack of technology and equipment needed. We've got to focus on being strong, not to necessarily, be involved in wars abroad. I'm not advocating for that necessarily, but when we are strong, only then can we deter. I think deterrence is truly the key to peace. And that's what we've got to be focused on, is our own military strength and, restoring trust with both our currently serving members of the military and our veterans. In the way we're treating our veterans is truly appalling. Sending the Biden administration, sending VA doctors and staff to the border to treat illegal aliens instead of those who've given their lives to serving our country. I think there needs to be a total overhaul of the VA system. That's certainly one thing that's become evident in spending time in a lot of these counties, in Washington County, veteran I'm talking to there, I can't just drive down the road to really wonderful local hospital, they've got to go to Biloxi. And that means they've got to have a family member take off work to take them to Biloxi. So it's, you know, it's a really broken system. And I think we've got to do a better job, again, of not only strengthening our military, but also treating our former service members better.
Well, and there's some disagreement here, but you mentioned, number one, you mentioned the border and any veterans issues. And there's real disagreement within the Republican caucus, and the media, I think, are sort of playing a side here, playing a role here, if you will. But we shouldn't use these conservative or these Republican priorities. They shouldn't be. We shouldn't use Ukraine as a bargaining chip, that we can't use that as leverage, that we had to isolate these issues and handle them one-on-one. But, I mean, we do have a Republican majority in the House. It's just, it's your perception that these big ticket sort of things, these big picture ideas, the things that Republicans talk about on the campaign trail, are just being passed over and in the name of going along to get along.
Oh, no, I certainly agree, you know, and again, I mean, I think that Democrats are, you know, the pot calling the kettle black with this regard. You know, they use bargaining chips all the time and have, you know, that's certainly been their MO for decades. So, but no, I mean, I think we've got to stand strong and stop kicking the can down the road. And again, I think that's why it's so important that we increase our majority, you know, not only keep control of the House, but increase our majority so that, you know, there are some that don't feel, you know, I certainly don't feel that the need to, you know, be conciliatory, but clearly there are some in the party who do. And I think if we had a stronger majority, then, you know, certainly that impetus would be hopefully eliminated.
Caroline, we got to get out of here. We're short on time, but before I let you go, one more time, folks want to find out, get involved in your campaign between now and November, help you out, or anything of that sort. How can they do so?
Yes. And you know, any support would be appreciated. As you know, the Democrats feel entitled to this seat. They're going to be pouring millions into this race. That's certainly a focus of ours is fundraising. So if you feel led, any amount, however small, would be appreciated. Our website is www.dobsonforcongress.com. We also have Instagram, Facebook, X, and Truth Social accounts, Dobson for Congress. We'll have information about upcoming events and other opportunities. But again, so appreciate everyone who showed up to vote last week, and we are working hard to secure victory in November.
Well, once again, congratulations, impressive win, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. Have a good day.
Caroline Dobson, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5.